Well, good evening. I have a new face tonight. Welcome. How did you hear about us?
On the internet.
Of course. It's amazing. Let's do introductions around.
I'm Donna Lynn.
Wendy.
Hi.
Jane.
John.
Sammy. Britt.
Yes.
Ken.
Lauren.
Carolyn.
Julian.
And Angie. I've been preparing to go away and feeling very sad. But in the meantime, I've been sort of preparing the ground, and Carolyn and Donna Lynn will take care of things while I'm gone, including the half-day sit in January. Carolyn said she would sit that in this seat. So I hope you all keep the walls warm and the sitting strong while I'm gone. And I'll bring back as many stories as I can from adventures. It's not very adventurous up on the mountain in Switzerland. It's just a trek from the hotel where we live to the beautiful Zendo where we sit and back again. There are two sits in the morning before breakfast, and then a long work period, and then two sits before lunch, a long rest period. study period, and then two sits before dinner, and then two sits after dinner. So you can imagine trekking back and forth through the snow to the Zendo, putting on the robe, taking the robe off again, putting it on again. Vanya will be there off and on. So I hope to learn something and bring what I learned back to here. In the meantime, we're studying this, Suzuki Roshi's words, and have come to page 59, a chapter on right effort. Right effort is one of the folds of the Eightfold Path. And Suzuki Roshi has a kind of mysterious take on it, actually. There's a paragraph in here that's very interesting, as Donna Lynn would say. I don't quite know what to make of it, but he has some interesting things to say, especially about fear and about achieving something or not achieving something, which is one of the most important teachings. So let's read it paragraph by paragraph.
Right effort. If your practice is good, you may become proud of it. What you do is good, but something more is added to it. Pride is extra. Right effort is to get rid of something extra.
The most important point in our practice is to have right or perfect effort. Right effort directed in the right direction is necessary. If your effort is headed in the wrong direction, especially if you are not aware of this, it is deluded effort. Our effort and our practice should be directed from achievement to non-achievement.
usually when you do something, you want to achieve something. You attach to some result. From achievement to non-achievement means to be rid of the unnecessary and bad results of effort. If you do something in the spirit of non-achievement, there is a good quality in it. So just do something without any particular effort is enough. When you make some special effort to achieve something, some excessive quality, some extra element is involved in it. You should get rid of excessive things. If your practice is good, without being aware of it, you will become proud of your practice. That pride is extra. What you do is good, but something more is added to it. So you should get rid of that something which is extra. This point is very, very important, but usually we are not subtle enough to realize it, and we go in the wrong direction.
Because all of us are doing the same thing, making the same mistake, we don't realize it. So without realizing it, we're making many mistakes, and we create problems among us. This kind of bad effect is called being dharma-ridden, or practice-ridden. You are involved in some idea of practice or attainment, and you can't get out of it. When you are involved in some dualistic idea, it means your practice is not pure. By purity, we do not mean to polish something, trying to make some impure thing pure. By purity, we just mean things as they are. When something is added, that is impure. When something becomes dualistic, that is not pure. If you think you will get something from practicing Zazen, already you were involved in impure practice. It is all right to say there is practice and there is enlightenment, but we should not be caught by the statement. You should not be tainted by it. When you practice Zazen, you practice Zazen. If enlightenment comes, it just comes. We should not attach to the attainment. The true quality of Zazen is always there, even if you are not aware of it. So forget all about what you think you may have gained from it. Just do it. The quality of Zazen will express itself. Then you will have it.
People ask what it means to practice Zazen with no gaining idea. What kind of effort is necessary for that kind of practice? The answer is efforts to get rid of something extra from our practice. If some extra idea comes, you should try to stop it. You should remain pure in practice. That is the point towards which our effort is directed.
We say, to hear the sound of one hand clapping. Usually the sound of clapping is made with two hands, and we think that clapping with one hand makes no sound at all. But actually, one hand is sound. Even though you do not hear it, there is sound. If you clap with two hands, you can hear the sound. But if sound did not already exist before you clapped, you could not make the sound. Before you make it, there is sound. Because there is sound, you can make it, and you can hear it. Sound is everywhere. You just practice it, there is sound. Do not try to listen to it. If you do not listen to it, the sound is all over. Because you try to hear it, sometimes there is sound, and sometimes there is no sound. Do you understand? Even though you do not do anything, you have the quality of Zazen, always. But if you try to find it, if you try to see the quality, you have no quality.
You're living in this world as one individual. If you will, you can take form and being. You're already there, always there. You're always there, you understand. You think before you were born,
before you were born, you were not here. But how is it possible for you to appear in this world when there's no you? Because you are already there, you can appear in the world. Also, it is not possible for something to vanish which does not exist. Because something is there, something can vanish. You may think that when you die, you disappear, no longer exist. But even though you vanish, something which is existent cannot be non-existent. That is the magic. We ourselves cannot put any magic spells on this world. The world is its own magic. If we are looking at something, it can vanish from our sight. But if we do not try to see it, that something cannot vanish. Because we are watching, it can disappear. But if no one is watching, how is it possible for anything to disappear? If someone is watching you, you can escape from him. But if no one is watching, you cannot escape from yourself.
So try not to see. Quenching is peculiar. I can't see these things. Something is peculiar. Try not to achieve anything special. You already have everything in your own pure quality. If you understand this ultimate fact, there is no fear. There may be some difficulty, of course, but there is no fear. If people have difficulty without being aware of the difficulty, that is true difficulty. They may appear very confident. They may think they are making a big effort in the right direction. But without knowing it, what they do comes out of fear. Something may vanish for them, but if your effort is in the right direction, then there is no fear of losing anything, even if it is in the wrong direction. If you are aware of that, you will not be deluded. There is nothing to lose. There is only the constant pure quality of right practice.
That's it. So you see. It's so difficult in this practice to not get hooked in the achievement side of it, not try to get somewhere, and not begin to believe that that's the point of practice, is to attain something. So the message is very clear. In the spirit of non-achievement, we practice. But that sounds like a kind of a very dour and kind of slim promise for us. So this last thing about there's nothing to lose is a very important element of that. If there's nothing to attain, there is also nothing to lose. And so there we are, right in the middle, right here. It's really the best of every world, the very live world in which we are living and breathing at this very moment. And in this mysterious magic paragraph, his effort to talk about life and death actually, if you let it pass through, is very helpful we're looking at something, it can vanish from our sight. But if we do not try to see it, that something cannot vanish. We try to capture things with our eyes, with our mind. We try to hold and hold on to, often clutch. And then things, we feel like we've lost them when they disappear. But actually, nothing is lost, ever. And from our own being, from our side, the life of us goes on. Where it came from, how we came from, where we go. As I told you last week, this big discussion that's still going on a bit in the listserv of the Soto Zen and American Zen teachers about rebirth and reincarnation and what Buddhism teaches and what we Zens teach and how, if it's different, there's some contention about it. What do we mean? How can we say? What did Buddha say? And what did Buddha mean? Many people say you can't consider yourself a Buddhist unless you believe in rebirth. So then, is rebirth the same as reincarnation? Most Zen say no. They say rebirth means something is always continuing. Nothing is lost, but everything is changing constantly. So we ourselves are being reborn every moment. And our coming and going is just the tiniest part of the whole coming and going of all of it. None of it is lost. It's like energy is never lost. The energy of the universe, which is really mysterious. We don't really know what it is. We are it. And in that case, we don't have to be proud of anything about ourselves. It isn't even necessary to shore ourselves up. Not necessary to feel like we have to stand higher than others, or that we sit lower than others. All those are just mind tricks, ways that we use our thinking in order to enhance our shaky sense of ourself. Based on fear. Fear that something will be lost. The spirit of non-achievement makes me think of how it was when we did Jikoji, when we were creating a retreat space, and every day felt desperate. There were so many things to take care of, so many things that were about to fall apart or in some way not work. And what we found was that if we made every effort, this is how I learned about right effort, really, and did the very best we possibly could, but have no attachment to the outcome at all, that things went better. They just moved along. And it's when we became, when we began to clutch at something, oh, it has to happen this way because otherwise the whole thing is sunk. Then we got very unhappy, very nervous, very anxious, and nothing worked very well. It really put the whole thing in danger of sinking. It was a curious opportunity to learn how to let go and to know what we were letting go. Letting go of the ambition that we had for it. I always said, when I got up every morning, I would think, if it doesn't work and it all goes away, that's fine. And I made it clear in my own mind that that would be okay. If Chikoji didn't work, fine. And then I'd go to work to make it work. Always ready to kiss it goodbye if need be. I'm still willing to kiss it goodbye, and it's, what, 25 years later. So, and nobody knows how it's surviving or how long it will survive. It's very strange how it all works, way beyond us. This also reminds me of my relationship with my teacher, with Koban, who came and went a lot. He was very much with us for a long time, and then he moved away, just out of the blue. And then he would come for a while, and then he'd go away, back and forth. And again, it was a kind of training, learning how to be with him wherever he was. It looked like he vanished, but the truth was he was always with us. And when he died, that was the first thing I thought. Oh, he's here. He's right here. He didn't go anywhere. I think that's what Roshi is pointing to here. Because you're watching it, it can disappear. So if you clutch with your watching, if you hold on tight, then if someone walks out the door, you feel like you've been torn. But if no one's watching, it's just coming and going in the midst of all the coming and going, part of the great dynamic. He says, if someone is watching you, you can escape from him. But if no one is watching, you cannot escape from yourself. So what is this yourself you can't escape from? So, are there questions? Donald Lynn?
The fear of losing. And yet there could be a fear of many things, which speaking for myself, I had my own fear of that might come up, other than losing. So there are different fears, true, that will drive us. It seems to be some common themes attached to, almost like survival of the ego, right? Fear of losing it, fear of being seen, fear of being saved.
If you follow it all the way back, most of those things are about survival. I think I was saying on Saturday, I think one of the ways of distinguishing human beings is our extreme knowledge of our own death. Mystery of how it is because we see it and how strange it is and how we try not to think about it because it creates a great deal of fear in us. That's why they say in Zen that you sit with that knowledge, become familiar with it and face that fear.
It's the ultimate fear.
The ultimate fear, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I remember in Arcata last May, he said that, I guess there's always, or maybe it's the same thing, that we have two wishes. One wishes to live and one wishes to die.
Yes.
I was trying to articulate that the other day, and it just... Does that tie in with our fear? With this fear? Or is it totally on the...
Well, that's the part of the Second Noble Truth that Buddha taught. He taught the source of suffering is desire. Which desire and aggression, and some of that desire is the desire for more life, and some of it is let's get the hell out of here as fast as we can. It's both based on a misunderstanding, and so his encouragement was to recognize that in ourselves. So we're not driven by those. Just acknowledge it as it passes through.
So the wish then is again getting away from the fear.
Yes. Yes. Which is based, and the fear is based on really on nothing. It's just an idea. But it's a powerful idea and drives us.
Is that, like, the fear of living and the fear of death, is it helpful to think of it as, I'm not sure how different even those two, there seems just to be an undercurrent of total, like, maybe primal dissatisfaction?
Yes, yes, exactly.
The big no?
Yep, yep, the big no. Primal dissatisfaction. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's too quiet here, too loud
here.
Yes,
it's never good enough. Yeah.
And how would fear, how does fear?
Well, all of that dissatisfaction is based on insecurity. Always trying to find some solid ground under our feet, and there isn't any. So it's a continual effort as long as we're trying to create something that doesn't exist. It's not a very cheerful subject for the season, is it? it's a bit raw, but the truth is raw. Also beautiful. Fresh. And new every day. We start over every day. We get a second chance over and over and over again. It's one of the best parts of being alive. So as we plunge into the solstice, a couple more days, and celebrate our various festivals of light, just keep on trying to be honest and clear with ourself and enjoy it. Enjoy this yourself we cannot escape from. Turn back. So I brought my usual Christmas gift to you all. They're all the same. And I wish you all well.
When are you coming back?
I'll be back on the 22nd. Yeah. So I'll be gone almost a month.
Switzerland?
Switzerland. Felsentor.